Hello out there, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude, a podcast for all things nerd. I'm here via Skype with...
Abotab. Sam.
Looks like I've got all the horses. It's John.
Hey, Benny, it looks like you're on the wrong side of the river.
It's Chris.
Yeah, so based on those intros and the music in the beginning, you should know that we are doing the 1999 action thriller, whatever, horror.
Technically, it's referred to as action horror.
Action horror, okay. So it's an action horror, The Mummy, starring Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz, which is one of her earlier roles.
Yep, John Hanna and who's Arnold Vosloo? Is that how you pronounce the last name?
Oh, the guy who plays the mummy.
Yeah, Imhotep.
Yeah. Imhotep. Anyways.
those are main important people, so.
No, I know. But, like, this was, like, an introductory to Rachel Weisz's, like, career. Like, this was, like, an early big stepping stone for her. And, you know, this was also the beginning of, or sort of beginning of, the rise of Brendan Fraser. So
That's questionable.
What a rise it was.
Yeah, so the movie itself was a early summer release back in 1999, the month of May. As Sean said, it was a action horror movie. However, could you make it a case that you could throw in a good chunk of comedy into that?
Well, yeah. any good movie like this has their fair share of comedy.
Agreed, but this was a little bit more. Like, it could have potentially been a...
This movie definitely has a parody vibe to it. Like, it's parodying the original.
Yeah. Yes, at times, for sure.
Yeah.
So, this movie was... It came out in 1999. It was released... fun fact, I don't know if you guys knew this. This was the highest grossing non-holiday weekend movie ever.
Wow.
Up until that time, the non-holiday weekend. So, you know, Jaws was July 4th weekend, if I remember correctly. Star Wars was a long weekend, usually. This was the highest grossing non-holiday weekend movie ever. Up to 1999. Clearly, there have been more.
For the opening weekend, you mean?
Opening weekend.
Yeah. That's impressive. Although, you know, we really hadn't had... I was surprised, like, Jurassic Park. But I bet Jurassic Park was, like, Memorial Day or something like that.
Yeah. And Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Even Jumanji was probably a holiday weekend, right?
But we hadn't... Yeah, we hadn't really gotten to the point yet where we're just, like, up the butt with, like, comic book movies, so... Or frankly, even just franchise movies in general. So yeah, I guess that makes sense. That's a pretty crazy fact, though. I would not expect that for The Mummy, which, do we want to get into what it means to us, sort of thing?
Should I? I just want to do the budget. Sure. The budget number two, just because we're staying on this. So it opened $45 million. Okay. The budget itself, Universal said it was about $80 million, but the director said about $61-62 million. It was back in the time where, and this movie was a success. This movie was considered a success. It was back in the time where films did not need to open above their entire budget to actually be considered a success now. Back in those days, you just had to make a decent amount of money. That's it. Because they assumed you'd make... you know, in arrears type thing. You'd assume you'd make your money back over time. It's not one of those, like, Avengers is a flop unless it makes its money back the first weekend.
Yeah, like the drop-off.
The
drop-off after the first weekend is a lot more now. And in part because just everybody, you know, has to see it right away. And then, you know, they saw it and then they're good. But, like, you know, I think you're right, though. It used to be more like, well, you know, it would be out for a while. The drop off would still be big the first week, but maybe not as dramatic.
Yeah.
I had to look this up. I'm pretty sure this held that title of highest grossing non holiday weekend for.
That's all right. Hey, it doesn't matter.
No, that's still
Mother's
huge.
Day, but Sean?
Yeah.
weekends is a holiday weekend.
All,
right?
all the kids and their moms went to go see the Star Wars.
Hey, Sean. Brendan Fraser was on top of the world. Right? That's all that matters.
Yeah, it's very apt.
Also, I knew this just in general, but I didn't know how far it really started kind of trying to get this made. Apparently, they rolled through a bunch of directors, and I knew that, but I didn't know that some of the names associated with the directors that were initially slated.
Can we do a guessing game?
Do you want to guess? Because I'm sure Sean knows a few of them.
Oh, I might.
All right, let me throw out Ridley Scott.
No.
Ooh.
Roland Emmerich.
Nope.
Wow.
Let's just throw this one out. Spielberg?
No.
I felt like that was too obvious.
Like Chris Columbus? Like who else?
Well, what style of movie is this?
It's an action movie.
Action adventure.
But
James Cameron?
Based off of what movie?
The Mummy.
Yeah, and what type of movie was that? What genre?
Oh, were they trying to talk this as a horror movie?
Oh, was Wes Craven?
Wes Craven was one of the directors that was attached to this movie for a little while.
So Carpenter?
Turned it down. Wes Craven turned it down, but there's also a George Romero.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Joe Dante, who did...
Dante's Inferno?
No, Grant. he was Gremlins.
Oh, okay.
Clive Barker was in there. Wow. Mick Garris. So that's, there's a few horror movies in there.
I would be very interested in seeing The Mummy directed by Clive Barker.
What was I going to say? But in the end, it ended up with Stephen Sommers. So, it was his kind of it wasn't a directorial debut, but it was like his second movie.
And quite frankly, I'm a little happy for that because I feel like if they leaned a bit too much into the horror movie, we might end up with Tom Cruise Mummy.
Yeah.
Not Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll get to
we'll get to that.
But we will certainly talk about that at some point. There's Stephen Sommers directed a 1989 movie called Catch Me If You Can.
Yep.
Which is not the one with Leo and Tom Hanks, obviously. That's interesting. Anyway. Do we have any more stats?
Any fun facts?
Not stats, but there is we can talk about it later. We can talk about it, like the CGI and stuff.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll get into that. So John, go ahead, wherever you want to go.
Oh, so what this movie meant to me. And I'll be honest with you, at first, I thought it was kind of an odd choice for us to do, though frankly, what's our last three here? It's been, Black Hawk Down, but Total Recall and the third Indiana Jones movies. We've had kind of an eclectic taste for the con classics, not going to lie. But you know what, guys? I forgot just how fucking fun of a movie this is.
Yeah,
I agree.
And in its day, this was like, like if Shawshank Redemption is like Jim Brown and like Forrest Gump is Tom Brady, this movie on cable is like one of those like running backs that's like really dominant for 4 years and then goes away. But like early 2000s, this was like one of the big cable heavyweights.
Yeah.
I feel
like.
Yeah. Definitely the series in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you also had Mummy Returns and that was always on.
You know what this movie is? It's one of those, it gets filed into the category of, I haven't seen this in a while, and I will intentionally go out of my way to put it on. It's one of those. It's one of those for me.
It's definitely, I don't know if it's there for me, because I haven't seen it in 15 years.
Yeah, it's been a while for me as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I watched this movie probably maybe once a year. Wow. And it feels, I love this movie. I'm sorry.
I keep forgetting about this movie but watching it again I was like, oh, that was really fun. But there was also another interesting emotion I felt watching this, which was feeling pissed off because I was watching this movie and I was just like, see Hollywood, this isn't that hard to make. I'm not asking the moon here. I'm just asking for a fun little action adventure movie. But no, everything has to be dark and moody, which has its place, but everything doesn't have to be that. Sometimes it could just be fun.
And the comedy is, like, well-delivered, too. It's not, like, schlocky and, like, overburdened, like Avengers or, like, you know, some other movies that try to be, like, cutesy funny and, like, doesn't really appeal to anybody. Like, it kind of works. And maybe, like, there's some... I'm grading it on a nostalgic curve of, like, you know, my early teens, tweens, whatever you want to call them. Like, but... Dude, it works. Like, it's not incredible. It's not, like, an all-time great. But for what it is, man, it just... It's like, you know, use a baseball analogy. It's like a 300-hitter who, like, likes his singles and doubles, you know?
Yeah. And, like, the comedy where it's, like... I don't know if I ever laughed out loud. I never lolled in this entire movie. But, like, I can't... I'm struggling to think of a joke that fell flat.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, they weren't the funniest jokes.
No, that's true. That is so true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
It's nice having, like, Kevin J. O'Connor as Benny. And then I even, like, the brother.
An Irishman playing an Egyptian.
But, like, even the brother, like, you have two comedic roles in there in, like, somewhat of a serious but, like, not quite serious movie. It just... It's nice where almost every scene has a comedic relief in it, but like
the captain, the pilot.
Oh, I love him! Like randomly thrown in there halfway through the movie. Oh my god! Like he's a great character too. Like, but it's well fleshed out characters. Like you understand, and like.
Well, I don't know about fleshed out.
Well, you understand the main characters. You understand the main characters.
They're simple characters. Oh, they're great. All aren't just like pretty much. They're all stereotypes.
There's not. Right. Yeah. There's not really much to flush.
But like.
But you understand them. There's no like. Right. Why?
Yeah. Like,
which is, you know, to get to Sam's point, is not like is. It happens all the time in movies now where it's like, why is this guy doing this? I thought, you know, like you just don't understand what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. Like, there's no reason to overcomplicate a character in a movie like this. Like, keep it simple. Backstories don't matter. I mean, I feel like if this exact movie was made today, I mean, this movie was, what, just over 2 hours? This is easily a 2.5 hour movie because the first half of the movie, you're doing, like, introduction to Brendan Fraser's character, how he got to the place, like... They're like, oh, you have to explain all this now. Like, no, you don't.
Or like the Emotep setup is like 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's just like,
longer.
Instead of like 5 minutes where it's like, yeah, he fucked this guy's wife. They mummified him alive.
Yeah.
Wasn't super nice to him on the way out.
No, but like a lot of this movie is, it's intertangled with all of the way he was mummified and, you know.
Yeah,
the whole backstory, like all of this movie comes back to that backstory pretty much,
which
so.
Is nice.
And it's a monster you need to get, you know, I think the monster movies I like are usually the ones where you, well, I feel like the ones where you find out late don't usually deliver on the promise that they're, you know, offering, whereas like if you just explain it at the beginning, it's like, okay, I get it, let's roll.
You can make
dust doubles. Okay.
Essentially, this movie is about the mummy itself. So, you could make a point that the mummy is more of a main character than Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Well, they even, like, I completely forgot about this. I thought it was always worked this way. But even in the beginning, in that, like, intro monologue thing where they just throw exposition at you, they mentioned the Magi, the guards, are actually good guys.
Yeah,
they just admit that, and I always thought that was something you learned later on. They're no, we're actually the good guys, but they actually mentioned that. I completely forgot about that, and it was literally just them being like, yeah, we know where this is going, guys.
It is funny in what I did notice this time around, and I didn't catch as so much the parody angle, because I think visiting it like for the first time again in a while, you kind of just look at it as face value to some extent, because it's not super hammy. It just kind of borderlines it. Like, it's like a very, like, I don't want to say subtle parody because, like, the stuff it does is not subtle. Like, for instance, like, the Americans are just, like...
just gun-toting.
It's, yeah, they're gun-toting. Like, it's like, oh, well, that's the nerd guy. That's, like, the upright guy. That's, like, the wild card guy. And...
All the British guys are effeminate, you know?
Right, they're all effeminate, like, total pussies, like, you know? Except for the pilot guy. He wanted to go out in the blaze of glory.
Yeah.
But he was some old drunk. You know,
but so. What I guess what I was kind of struck by is how, like, copy and paste part of this movie is. It's, like, taking, like, a lot of, like, Indiana Jones, especially, like, The Last Crusade, like, the whole Magi thing. And I forget, there's other parts of it, too. Well, it's, like, you know, they're in a library, and it's like... It's a very, like, Indiana Jones feel to it. And, I mean, they take some stuff for some other movies, too. But, like, I guess that's what struck me more than anything else is, like, how much this is, like, supposed to be, like, an Indiana Jones movie, frankly. And, like, you know, part of it is helped by that it's set in pretty much contemporary times, relatively speaking. I mean, what is it? One's the 30s, this is the 20s, so close enough. But also just how, like, Brendan Fraser, like, almost comes off like he's supposed to be the next Harrison Ford, which is funny because, like, you know, we've spent the last 5 years now being like, oh, is it going to be Chris Pratt? I don't know. And just, I guess, kind of realizing that this whole, like, blank is the new Harrison Ford is, like, nothing new. You know, it's almost like, you know, they talk a lot about, you know, like, in Hollywood, how there's, like, always, like, some new young starlet who's, like, the big thing for, like, 3 or 4 years. And it's like, well, the male equivalent, I guess, is, like, who's going to be the next Harrison Ford? And it just, like, churns him up and spits him out. Which, hopefully, Chris Pratt does not go the Brendan Fraser route.
No, but I after this movie, I did think it would be possible for him to step into that big role. But, nope, he did a few bad ones after that one. Particularly Dudley Do-Right.
Yeah, he made some
Monkey Bone.
Interesting choices.
And that was...
You're not going to talk Monkey Bone?
Afterward, yeah.
Looney Tunes back in action.
Yeah.
Crash?
I did like Journey to the Center of the Earth, though, for some reason.
He's in Doom Patrol now. So,
is he?
Yeah, he's one of the main characters in Doom Patrol, which is actually coming to HBO Max.
If I ever wanted somebody...
It's on HBO Max.
Oh, it's on, yeah. I recommend it. I've watched the first, like, 3 or 4 episodes. It's actually pretty good. Anyways.
If I ever wanted somebody back, like, in... It would be him. If I ever wanted somebody back in a blockbuster, it would be 100% him.
Watch some Doom Patrol.
I don't think that'd be my choice.
You'll watch some Doom Patrol. It'll give you that Brendan Fraser fix that you're looking for.
Yeah, I'm with John on this, like... Yeah, I kind of like Brendan Fraser, but at the same time, like, I can get other people to do that role, too. Like, there's nothing really special about this guy.
Yeah. It's just fun. I don't know. It really is a fun movie, so I can't really...
It is. It's a very fun movie. Like, and I know it sounds such, like, a simplistic, like, you know, way to analyze it. But it's, like, I just feel like there's so few movies like that. You know?
Ooh, can I read something that I read on, what is it, one of the reviews that I was looking at here?
Sure.
So this is from Roger Ebert.
Ooh, wow, we're getting into Ebert reviews on this
He gave this, well, back in the late 90s, you know, this was the one, you know. So
fire up the Raj.
He gave this 3 out of 4. And he said, and this is probably exactly what John just said. He goes, there is hardly a thing I can say in his favor, except that I was cheered by nearly every minute of it. I cannot argue for the script, the direction, the acting, or even the mummy, but I can say that I was not bored, and sometimes I was unreasonably pleased.
that's like 100% true with this movie. It's like, yeah, there's nothing about this movie that's great.
No, right. but you're just entertained. You're just entertained for every minute
it's
of the movie.
I wouldn't
quite recommend it to anybody. I mean, maybe if it was the sort of thing where, like, somebody's never seen it and, like, I don't have a better idea kind of thing. You know,
nobody's ever seen it. Do you want a fun action movie? There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do you like swashbuckling adventures, you know, like Indiana Jones?
Yeah, like, and you know what the thing is, too? If you recommend some of these older movies that we've been discussing, the graphics and the CGI don't really hold up. Shockingly, this movie, the majority of it actually holds up.
I mean,
shockingly.
If we're going into the CGI and stuff, it is dated, but sitting down watching this movie, I watched it last night with my wife. I was like, look at how bad the CGI is, but acknowledge the fact that this is a 21-year-old movie, and it's actually not that bad for a 20-plus-year-old movie.
Right? There are certain things that you are obnoxiously bad. Like the opening credits, they clearly didn't.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, too, it's not like it was bad CGI at the time. Like, I think holding it up and saying, like, does it still hold up 20 years later is an incredibly steep and, like, unfair standard to grade it to. I don't think it's, like, crazy to make that point. And I think the really good ones still hold up. But, you know, I don't think that's, like, ridiculous that it doesn't look great now, considering, like, you know, yeah, it just, the, you know, the, when they're showing Cairo or Thebes or whatever at the beginning, like, yeah, it doesn't look great.
No.
Especially if you look at the humans. Like, the humans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is a part of this, too. You know, I don't know if the one I was watching was 4K or just 1080, but, you know, it wasn't designed exactly to, like, hold up to those standards either, you know? Mm. Where, you know, we're talking about, you know, it was supposed to be shown, like, in theaters on, like, actual film, which is already kind of great. Long story short, you know, some of these movies, these like earlier CGI movies, like they were designed to look good at the time.
Yeah.
And just the way we see the movies now is just different. So it's not exactly a super fair standard, I guess.
So these guys who did the CGI are a subdivision of, or a division of Lucasfilm?
Mm-hmm. Was ILM?
It's ILM, yep. Okay. So they did The Abyss.
Those are the big dogs. Well, no.
They did T2.
They do everything.
They do, yeah, they did almost everything.
They need CGI. So the only really,
like, ILM, the ones they haven't done that are, like, significant are, like, Lord of the Rings and, like, I don't know. Like, there's definitely more that ILM does. Maybe now it's a little bit different, but at least, like, 10 years ago and before that, like, they were the big dogs for sure.
Yeah. The ones to do it, yeah.
Yeah, and they did Jurassic Park.
Yeah. They do the Marvel movies, too, I believe.
Yes, the ILM did do the Marvel movies.
All right, that's what I thought.
So, what else? We're already kind of brushing into these questions already. So what else has stood the test of time?
You go.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say, so, like, she's had, like, so many weird roles since that, like, I forget, like, Rachel Weisz, like, she's, like, so just, like, cute and, like, sexy in this. And, like, you know, like, she, like, no, she's, like, perfect. Like, and this is, like, as we've been talking, you know, like, one of her first big screen, or at least to a wide audience, like, forays or, you know, appearances. And, like, just very lovely in this movie. Yeah. I couldn't say anything else.
The librarian.
Yep.
Yeah, like,
yeah, everybody's favorite sexy librarian.
I don't know about you, but, like, it felt weird watching her in this role. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've gotten used to her playing those, like, weirder roles.
Yes.
And stuff. And, she's like, seeing her playing this, like, generic, like, female lead, it's just, like, weird.
She's done too many of those. Oh god, I'm gonna butcher the name. Like Yargos, whatever, the Greek guy.
Yeah, the
Favorite
freak.
And like the Lobster and all that.
Yeah,
and it's like I think the last thing I saw her in was The Favorite. Which, did we ever get the Chris take on that movie?
No, we did discuss it. Yeah, we did discuss it.
But did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. I want to say I watched it twice actually.
Wow.
Oh my god,
I have yet to watch it.
Just because it's so freaking ludicrous, I can't.
But you know, to get my earlier point, you know, not at all like what she's like in this movie.
No,
and it's just funny,
no.
And it's, I mean, it is very like, I don't want to say stereotypical, but it's very kind of common to see, like, you know, like this is like kind of how she would be like in her first role, like on her scene, because, you know, she's very attractive. She kind of like, I feel like kind of downplays that a little bit, because it's not as if, I mean, she's like aged very well too. Not that we need to get super deep into, you know, the latest looks, but like, she definitely doesn't go for this angle anymore, I guess is what I'm saying. Mm. And it's just kind of interesting to think of, well, what would be the alternative? I mean, she's done some like very compelling work otherwise. Like, I don't, you know, I would hate to be the person to choose, but you know, I guess it was interesting to see her do this when like she very clearly doesn't the rest of her career.
Probably. Yeah,
takes a very big left turn.
I mean, she didn't even do the third Mummy movie.
That's true.
Which was a good choice for her.
She wanted. She's clearly an actress who has a. She wants to dabble in everything, I think, and she likes those small little. I don't want to say Oscar bait movies, but
they're indie
those
films.
Those styles of movies,
it's like more artistic and
more artistic. Artsy. Yeah, she wants the artsy stuff. I think she's done actually a couple foreign films too, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, it seems like she just does what she wants to do, and this she understands that this movie was the one that you know progressed her forward, which I think you know. It's good for her, and she capitalized it with the second movie, and she just didn't want to do the third. It's not the first time we've seen somebody leave. It sure as hell won't be the last.
No, I don't think. Have you guys seen the third movie?
No, God no.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have not. Did not hear great things either.
The Mummy Returns, and then
Dragon Emperor.
Oh God! Oh, absolutely! I saw that movie.
Oh God!
I saw the movie a few times, actually.
Why?
Because when you turn the mind off when you watch it the first time, you're like, "Wait, what happened?" And then you have to watch it a second time, and then you realize like Jet Li is a king. It's a mummy, and you're just like, "Wait, what?"
Does he turn into a dragon in that movie?
Yes.
Yes,
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in a couple of years. I'm pretty sure he does, though.
Yeah, there's no way he doesn't, right? If he's the Dragon Emperor, he's going to be a fucking dragon.
Yeah, that'd be a solid swing and a miss if they just didn't have him be a dragon.
Yeah,
I will tell you, rewatching this movie has made me kind of want to go back and watch Mummy Returns.
Do you want to talk about the sequel?
When we get into the sequels a little bit,
all right. Okay. I mean, here's my take. I barely remember that movie.
I remember the pygmies.
You don't remember The Rock?
I know, I remember that.
The Rock in the beginning, and then CGI Rock at the end.
Let's talk about they fired too many people.
Well,
it's infamous. It's so bad, it's infamous. Like, when you're talking about bad CGI in movies, that is the movie you talk about first.
And it's mostly just the one scene.
It's the one scene with the Scorpion King.
It's just the end, yeah.
To be fair, the rest of the movie was, you know, okay with the CGI. It's just the end of it just ruined everything.
For sure. Like, the second movie is really just a very stereotypical sequel where it's just the first movie, but just bigger.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really any different. You get a different character, but it's, you know, it's very much the same thing. Bigger stakes. You know, the Magi are, like, fighting all those, like, dog soldiers. Nubites or whatever. Mm. It's, like, it's pretty much the same. I think the London stuff was kind of cool. Because the guys who have, like, the tall... Who are they in that? Are those, like, Magi or whatever?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Mummy minions, for lack of a better word.
The mummies themselves, or like the acolytes at the museum?
I don't remember specifically. I just remember those are the guys who are chasing him again.
Oh, the tall mummies. I don't know who they were. It's just very acrobatic mummies with tall faces.
Right.
No, you're right. That wasn't a bad scene either. It was kind of fun with the bus, the double decker, and everything.
Yeah, it was cool. That was really the only different element from the first.
Yeah, I mean, there's. They tried to force the comedy a little bit too much, I think, too, with the three idiots who took the chest and all that stuff.
Mm.
Yeah,
that was forced, and that wasn't as funny as it could have been.
That shit sort of happens. And I think the big thing, too, with that is... sorry, I had no idea where I was going with that.
That's all right. That's all right.
That's definitely.
So, I mean.
Oh, I know what I was talking about. I forgot if it was this movie or the other movie where it's like Rachel Weisz is like the reincarnated princess or whatever.
No,
it turns out it's the other.
It's a sequel.
It's
yeah.
a sequel, but it's. I thought it was. It's not Rachel Weisz. It like it's some girl like new character that was. The reincarnated Anoxinamon.
Yeah, but Rachel Weisz was also.
Oh yeah, she like was like her. Yeah,
Nefertiri. Yeah,
that's right. I forgot they were like sisters.
I remember that name. Jeez,
that seems kind of hot, dude.
There's a girl on girl fight scene.
I'll tell you one amazing thing. As considering, you know, first time I saw this, I was probably 11. the beginning
that,
scene
that
with Anoxinamon or whatever, where like you're like, wait, how? Hang on, how? It's like defying the laws of like the physical universe, where it's like, how can I not see the nips here, man? I don't. It's like, but she's like naked, right? No, yeah. But it's the hair. Up, no, yeah. But the hair's not really right in the same place, you know. It was definitely like my, you know, prepubescent mind was working overtime trying to figure that one out.
Yep.
Because there's this sort of thing too, like the TVs, they're not couldn't see. She's got the whatever.
Dude, you're not alone. You're not alone.
I feel like many
question marks raised.
Yeah, many a boy was like, "What the fuck? How is this possible?"
The internet does exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sticking with sequels, so we mentioned how the third movie, the Dragon Emperor, was not good. I just read, so there was going to be a fourth one, and it was called Rise of the Aztecs.
Ooh, I sold.
Do you know who the mummy was going to be? Actor?
John Voight.
Javier Bardem?
No. Come on, there's an obvious choice here. Antonio Banderas. Antonio Banderas.
Okay. I was half wrong.
Yeah. But like
obvious choice for Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, oh yeah. But like I'd be down for that. Like but it ended up obviously being scrapped and then turned into the Tom Cruise movie.
I think Benicio del Toro would be way better, just to be honest with you.
I probably wouldn't see it at that point.
Do we even want to talk about the Tom Cruise one? We have already discussed it on the podcast.
So Tom Cruise was actually considered to be the original, the Brendan Fraser role.
Yeah. Well, so, I actually read that Leo was supposed to be.
I think like, there was probably a few.
Almost going to be Brendan Fraser.
I could see that being Leo, especially back then, Leo.
So when did Titanic come out?
98 maybe.
Yeah, I think it was 96, 97.
No, anyway. He's too baby. That's too much of a baby, though. Not personally as a baby, just looks. You need kind of an aged look.
He doesn't look rough.
No. Yeah. Brendan Fraser looked like he was, you know, somebody who actually was in the military, so it fits,
yeah.
You know, given the opening scene of the mummy, you know.
What army or unit is he supposed to be part of in that
French football? Foreign Legion?
Foreign Legion, yeah.
Okay. Who are going into Egypt, I guess.
Well, he mentions he's from Libya, which was an Italian colony, so it still doesn't make sense, but
it's just an Algerian dude movie. It's the art of movie.
It's just movie logic, you know.
Yep.
Everybody knows the French Foreign Legion, so somehow we have to get them there.
I did imagine
like having like a 30-minute discussion with Sam in this podcast about the Sykes-Picot agreement after World War I, where they split up the Middle East between the French and all the borders. But we'll do that another day.
So the mummy with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that one's in the Middle East for some fucking reason.
That happened.
Yeah. And they were like, saw like, oh, you know how Brendan Fraser's this rough, like, you know, scoundrel character? but he's like actually a good guy. Yeah, let's get rid of that actually good guy. Just make Tom Cruise the biggest douchebag and asshole in the world.
It wasn't hard to begin with, so.
I feel like there are certain sequels or, you know, third or fourth movies, whatever, what have you, that kind of ruin franchises and give it like the worst reputation ever. I feel like the Tom Cruise one has ruined all of it for me. Even though I love this Mummy movie, like the Tom Cruise one, just universal, just no.
They're like two different entities in my head. Like, I don't even associate the two.
Yeah.
Because they're also movies that are just trying to accomplish different things. This series was just supposed to be like Indiana Jones, Swashbuckling Adventure,
yeah,
you know, in that interwar period kind of thing. Where that one was just trying to be crap.
Well, like, to like also look at it, think of the villain in this movie. You know, Imhotep, the mummy. How great of a villain was he? Like, every time I see that actor, I'm like, oh, it's Imhotep.
Well, he's also played the villain in a bunch of other.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I mean, he was notably in season 4 of 24.
24, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
He was in Bones.
Oh, he was in Bones as well?
Oh, yeah, he was the sniper in Bones.
Also in Blood Diamond.
But like,
was he in Blood Diamond?
But like,
yeah, he's like the sort of bad guy, maybe. He's like Leo's buddy. Is Leo supposed to be Rhodesian in that movie? Or is he South African?
I think he's supposed to be South African.
What's the difference, really?
Oh, come on, Sam.
But the villain, like, he was a good villain. Like, he was scary. He was menacing.
He played Zartan in The Rise of Cobra.
But, and then look at the new mummy's mummy. Like, she sucked.
I don't know. She wasn't that bad.
What was so scary about her?
It wasn't awful, but it was just...
I mean, she did have, like, this menacing kind of, like, attitude to her. It was just everything else was just crap. Like, if anything, yeah. I'm a little pissed off they kind of wasted her in that movie.
Imhotep is just... I don't know. He's one of the best villains.
Imhotep is just kind of way too generic of the villain.
Yeah. Like, he does a good job, but it's not exactly memorable, I feel.
No, it's more or less just he's on a mission to,
yeah,
you know, race his girlfriend. So.
Yeah. I think the guy does a good job with it. It's just not... There's not a lot of meat on the bone.
Yeah, he's not villainous, you know.
Right.
Well, I mean, he's trying to become immortal.
He already is immortal.
No. Yeah. Well, at the end, he is.
What do you mean? Throughout the whole movie, he's immortal.
Once he takes the all of his jars, the organ jars, they said like that's when he becomes unstoppable.
Well, yeah, he's not scared of cats anymore.
Yeah. Which, this movie is the reason why I own a cat.
just in case.
Yeah, just in case everybody's wondering that.
Checking,
you know,
all the boxes.
Anytime I've ever been with like people, I'm like, they're like, oh, ghosts, and like start talking about ghosts and stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm not worried about ghosts. They're like, why? I'm like, I have a cat. Cats are the guardians of the underworld. And nobody understands that reference ever. But it, like, in the back of my mind, I'm like,
out with a bunch of Egyptologists,
right? does anybody have a favorite quote in this movie? Because I definitely do.
Could I one last thing on Imhotep?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
On your boy Emo.
Emo.
I had a note here. You know, you come back to life after 3,000 years to dress like a biker. To be fair, he really looks like it right at the beginning, and at the beginning, I mean like right when he's like fully formed. But then actually, he doesn't look so much. Then he's got the casual like robe and, you know, speedo going. So
yeah,
they dressed very comfortable back then.
Well, yeah, I mean it was hot.
You know, the loincloth really has to come back into style.
That's right.
See. Next time we see Sam after the quarantine, he's going to be just rocking the cloth.
What's the Imhotep look? Come on.
Classic Tep.
What are we doing here? Quotes, Sean?
Yeah, no. Does anybody have like a...
I really like when he's on the boat and the jailer comes up. He's like, O'Connell, what do I do? And he's like, stay here. I'll go get help. And he jumps over the
overboard. So that guy, it's great because I've seen him in two movies and he's the exact same guy and they're back-to-back years. Because the only other thing I've seen him in is Gladiator, when he's like the same guy, pretty much. He's like the slave trader that finds Russell Crowe and is then like bullshitting with the, you know, the guy who runs the Gladiator school or whatever. And it's like the same thing. It's just, I don't know. It's very, very interesting choice. And then I've never seen him in anything else.
I can't think it. I feel like I've seen a ton of movies with the curator. I forgot his name, though.
Oh, that guy. He was in Mr. Deeds.
Yeah, he's in a ton of stuff.
Great quotes in Mr. Deeds.
And
we get, what's his face? The dad from Jumanji.
Yeah, the Egyptologist. He's also the bad guy in The Strain, the TV show about vampires. Yeah.
This is turning into the People Are In Things podcast. Well,
I've watched the... what the heck is it called? I've watched The Strain. It wasn't that good.
The first season's pretty good.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's good.
I haven't finished it. That's how good it gets. Anyways, anybody else have like a good one?
Not really. No? Although I love like everything the American guys say because they're so like... Like, I think this is what, you know, when we talk about, like, oh, this movie is, like, is it a self-parody or not? Because it's really laid on thick with them.
Mm. Yeah. So, my favorite quote in this is when Benny says, I love the whole sand wall trick. It was beautifully bastards. And then just walks away. Like, I don't know why. I love that line. Like, it's so great. I laugh every
like
time.
I do like how the brother just keeps quoting Bible verses for some reason. Like,
yeah, that was
he's all of a sudden a Bible expert.
Also, like, let me just be real here. Did they not think we would notice that the brother is Scottish and, like, Rachel Weisz is, like, posh English? Like, did they just not think we, like, it's all the same? Because, like, nobody's attempting to do any sort of accent.
Or how about they never showed all the plagues of Egypt?
Okay.
Yeah, so. They didn't.
But also,
we had what, three out of how many plagues are there? 12?
It's 10.
10? So we got 3 out of 10?
Well, you got the fire from the sky, you got the water to blood, you got the locusts, you got the boils and sores, and
darkness.
Darkness, yeah, because of the eclipse.
Yeah, the flies. Is that
that locust, Sam?
No. There's
Oh, the fly! Oh,
I don't think so.
Like when he releases the
I think those
flies.
Are locusts.
No.
When he releases them out of his mouth, yeah, frogs are one of them.
So also, I'm not a religious scholar,
right?
But I don't think that's an ancient Egyptian thing. I think that's a Arab. What's Abrahamic thing? Like that's a Jew. I mean, that's the Old Testament.
Yeah,
that's
the Old Testament. Yeah.
It's not in Egyptian.
No.
It's like apples to oranges. Be like, oh, yeah, then fucking Zeus threw some fucking lightning down. Like, I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Also, anyone else think it's like a little weird that the Magi are now Islamic? Or it's like, but you have like all this evidence that like at least the Egyptian gods must exist in some way.
Right.
And you just switch teams? Like,
what the fuck, dude? Like, even the guys in, Last Crusade are, like, ethnically, you know, Middle Eastern, but they're still Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah, they you're right. You're right, Sam. They gave up. They fucking gave up.
Why do they switch teams?
And aren't they speaking... I don't think they're even speaking Egyptian. I think they're speaking Arabic, too.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. Could not tell you.
I mean, they could be like Coptic Christian, you know? That's native to Egypt.
Right, but also, you know...
But also at the same time, like...
Right, doesn't exactly worship the sun.
Who knows?
I'm just saying, Where's the love for Rob? Come on.
Cinematic leeway. All right, well, all of this answers the question, is it untouchable? So,
do you want to go do
I feel that like right? You could make another Mummy movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, why not?
I would love Brendan Fraser to come back.
We know.
Can you imagine Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz doing it alone?
I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, see, there we go.
I think the fact that Rachel Weisz wasn't in the third one is what really kept me away, even before the reviews came out. No, before the reviews came out.
Simply wasn't going to work.
No, I know, but before the reviews even came out, I was like, oh, she didn't come back? Yeah, I'm done. Because it's always weird recasting.
Especially when she's the person who could walk away from this, and she did.
Mm.
Where it's like, oh, so the script was not good. All
right. Right. Yeah.
But it's like, Brendan Fraser's not going to turn that down at that point in his career.
Right, right.
Plus, it was also just your classic, you know, waited too long to make another one.
Yeah.
Why, how long was the... It was 7 years, yeah.
Yeah, it was a while. And, like, when I heard they were making a new one, I got excited. I was like, yeah, new Mummy movie. This is going to be awesome.
He needed to. He had Dickie Roberts' Looney Tunes Back in Action Crash, The Last Time, The Air I Breathe, Journey to the Center of the Earth, and that was it. All before The Mummy. So
yeah.
He needed something.
What year did Dragon Emperor come out?
2008.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Wow. That's...
Yeah. Still 12 years ago. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But yeah, like, I still think you can make a good movie out of the Mummy movies.
Yeah.
I mean,
all of it's based on the original anyway, so.
Yeah, like.
I think it's
definitely, you know, you gotta make it kind of, like, small and fun, like this one was. You know, you can't make it, like, I'm assuming the Tom Cruise one, because every fucking movie's got to be like this now, where it's like, oh, well, it threatens the world, and, you know.
Right. In fairness, it does do that in this one, but...
Right, but you don't see, like, the large extent of it threatening the world. It's like, oh, but here's Cairo.
Yeah, it's like, if we let this get out of hand, it'll threaten the
world. Right.
Yeah.
Which, again, I love the American guys being like, yeah, we're just going to leave. That will work.
How's that going to work? Like... I don't think passports work on this guy.
Oh, this is a segment I'm going to call ASA, which is Ask Sean About Animals.
Oh, no.
Is the speed of a camel in the desert, like, compared to a horse, is that representative, you think?
Based on what I acknowledge, I was watching that scene, too, and I was like, pretty sure the horses would outrun the camels.
Truthfully, the trade-off is like the camel will get you through the desert, but I don't think the horse would not be fast. Like, the horse is fucking
right.
fast.
But the only thing that I could think of that would give the camels the edge here is the pad of the camel's hoof is designed for the sand, whereas a horse's hoof is not. So I feel like that would give it a little bit of an edge, but I still don't think, personally, I think the horses would probably still win. But camels are pretty fast.
Maybe the horses are more tired.
Yeah. They had to go a long way around. And probably without water.
Because let's not forget, they were on the wrong side of the river.
Exactly.
Oh, what a perfect note to end on. Come full circle. Oh, boy. All right, any other final thoughts?
Listen, if you learned anything from us tonight, it's don't be on the wrong side of the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't.
Also, I looked on Wikipedia real quick. Because of this movie, there are now about 9 movies in this kind of universe. In quotes, quote-unquote universe.
Yeah, do you want to talk Scorpion
King? No.
Oh, God, yeah, all the Scorpion
Kings. I think they're all on Netflix.
There's too, what? Actually. How many Scorpion... Are there 5 Scorpion Kings or 4?
There might be 5.
I'm not entirely sure. I really don't want to look, because I just don't want to be depressed.
Well, let's just do some math. There's three mummies.
I know.
If there's nine movies in this, that means there's six Scorpion.
Well, I know we were talking about, like, could Michael Biehn been today's Carl Urban? I remember there being, like, he was in, like, the fourth or the fifth one, so.
Oh, he was?
I thought so.
I don't know. I might have to watch it if he is in there, though.
You know I love about the Scorpion King movies? Like, I don't have to watch them, but each movie stars a different character from the Expendables as the Scorpion King. Like, I'm pretty sure Dolph Lundgren's the Scorpion King at some point. Yes, I know, like, Randy Coulter is also the Scorpion King at one point. Like, they just cycle through. It's like, who else from the Expendables can be the Scorpion King?
So this is the Scorpion King 4 Quest for Power.
Oh,
which, followed by Scorpion King Book of Souls.
Book of Souls.
Like, where's the market for those movies?
Straight to DVD, Sam. Straight to DVD.
We're gonna get fucking wasted and watch a Scorpion King come over.
I just don't know.
Like, you put that on after you watch a UFC or a fight, right?
Yo, yeah, that's how I think of it. It's like, there's that specific crowd, and they're probably watching UFC, maybe WWF. Sorry, E. WWE.
Sean, I'm going to give WWE fans a little bit more credit. Because at the very least, when you watch WWE, there is something entertaining to it. It's dumb, but there's something entertaining to it.
All right. Whereas, Scorpion King, which I think I've seen some of, though not the whole movie.
The original?
Scorpion King, played by The Rock.
Yes.
Then played by some other guy, but then, Sam, like you said, Randy Couture is in it, in the second one. Third one has, who's... Jesus Christ, Kimbo Slice is in this.
Wow. Dave Bautista's in that one.
No, who's Hellboy? Ron Perlman's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Zane. Jesus Christ. Yeah, Dave Bautista.
Wow. Oh, wait until you get to the fourth one.
Oh, my God.
Lou Ferrigno.
Oh,
The album covers are just, like, you know, when it's just random pictures of people, it's like, it's gotten bad. Rutger Hauer. Oh my god.
All right, we're getting through now. We should. Any other final thoughts on the Mummy movie?
Yes.
How many death races do you think there are?
Way too many. There's a lot.
I think there's five. Right?
There's at least four. I know of four.
There's a fourth one because that was what came up the other one, next to Scorpion King Book of Souls. Yeah.
On that note, I guess, any final thoughts?
I got none. I love this movie. I love the Mummy movie.
Great soundtrack, by the way. Great soundtrack. Just throwing that out there. What?
Pretty solid, not understated, but like low-key, really good soundtrack.
Yeah. I listened to it at work, I think, Tuesday.
A lot of people make note of that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
So...
All right, well...
anyway, love that movie. Recommend it for anybody.
On that note, you can find all of our podcasts on Podbean, on Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and iTunes. You find us on Facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. And leave us a review. Let us know if there's any movies you want us to review or talk about on these classics. All right, until next time.
Do we want to announce the next one?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Oh, next episode we'll do it.
All right, Fast next week, though.
Yeah, Fast 7.
Imhotep, everybody. Imhotep.